Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
And a very good morning to you. My name is Nick and the Moose Batson. I'm the Commander-in-Chief at tiptv.co.uk. The date, Wednesday the 21st of January. We're here 10 a.m. every day covering markets and sport live from the heart of London, St. Paul's. Purpose, make you money through thoughts-provoking ideas. Strong conviction tips for short-term trading. As we always say, do not gamble with more than you can afford to lose. Welcome back to the show. Let's talk to Dave Harris of Invertrust Consultancy to give us his latest thoughts on the general election. Very good morning to you, Dave.
Morning.
I read a piece, I don't know if I've talked to you about this over Christmas, that Pamela Gordon prepared. Just give me 30 seconds and I'll just tell you a bit of numbers. Obviously, we've got a forthcoming general election. Pamela Gordon research since 1966, 12 general elections, 6 Labour wins, 6 Conservative wins. Labour in power for 22 years, 26 years of Conservative or Conservative left governments. Share price under the Tories, return on capital employed at 11%. Shares under the Labour government, just 7%. And they were basically having parallels between now and 73, 74. In the December that year, the fallout, we had the oil price shock, question about our place in Europe and had hung Parliament. I had an ex-footballer phone me up Sunday night and he went, Moose, can you find out from your betting contacts, OK, what are the odds of having two elections this year? And I phoned up Ladbrokes and it was only 6-1. So clearly this is... Nobody's got a clue what's going on, apart from Al Murray, who's decided to enter the fray. Over to you for the next 9 minutes. What sense can you make of politics, if there is any sense?
Well, I think what is becoming apparent is that for the first time in a very long time, and possibly back as far now as 1983, there is going to be a stark choice between what the two parties have on offer. Just two things that aren't going to happen, because there's been spurious headlines. You'll get this electioneering that starts, and it's been going on now for about 3 or 4 weeks, but the snowball will get further going down the hill. If Labour wins the election, they are not going to increase public spending by £20 billion.
Okay.
And if the Conservatives win the election, they will not destroy the NHS or return the welfare state to the 1930s. I mean, that's just arrant nonsense. It's electioneering. Please ignore it. However, there is going to be this choice, I believe. There's going to be blue water between the two. If Labour should win, they will borrow more and they will spend more than a Conservative government. And if the Conservatives win, there will be more public spending cuts. The Institute for Fiscal Studies estimates that if Labour gets in, they would actually borrow, over the lifetime of Parliament, will borrow about £25 billion more and only implement about £7 billion of public spending cuts, whereas the Tories, if they get in, will implement about £33 billion worth of spending cuts. So you're going to have a real choice. You know, do you want spending cuts or do you want a bit longer, or maybe a lot longer,
yep,
of debt that has to be serviced by all of us through our taxes? And talking of taxes, of course, this is the one thing that neither party will talk about. There is a third leg to this fiscal trio, if you like, and that is taxes. And neither of them will talk about what taxes they may or may not put up. You would imagine that the Labour Party are more likely to increase taxation than the Tories, but this coalition government that we've had for the last 4 or 5 years have increased taxes substantially. And again, if you believe the Institute of Fiscal Studies, it's the top 5% of households that have been hit hardest by these tax rises. Now, They may be considered to be fair game, and you know, we'll talk to the oligarchs and all people like that, and people like you, Moose, you know, with all that money you've got hidden away.
You're the second person who said that today. I'm getting a bit worried now.
But you can't perhaps keep soaking that cash cow forever and a day. You've got to have productivity growth, which is where we're really poor in this country. Our productivity growth is desperate in comparison to our competitors. The other thing, I don't know when you guys first voted. I first voted in 1970.
So I was 1980.
Right. In 1970, there was a really clear choice. It was Harold Wilson or it was Ted Heath. It was socialist or it was conservative. You knew what differences you were going to get. Right the way through to 1983, when you had Thatcher against Michael Foot and latterly Neil Kinnock. You knew what choice
they stood for. Yep.
You knew what they stood for. If you look at since 1997, can you really find any ground between New Labour under Tony Blair and Gordon Brown and the coalition under David Cameron and Nick Clegg? They're so close together in economic policy. All that really happened was that during the Blair-Brown years, of course, overall the world economy was in a better state, and consequently the money that was made through their policies, Brown was able to increase public spending quite dramatically over that period of time. The coalition has had to row back, and that's principally what they've done in the last 4 or 5 years. Now, this time, I think that left-right divide is going to be more clearly defined, and then you've got this great wodge of strange bits and pieces in the middle. They won't like it if I say strange, will they? But the SDP, UKIP, even the Lib Dems, they're so unpopular at the moment that you can't really see how they will do anything other than maybe prop up one or other of the major parties.
How does this all impact the stock market? Is it likely to get more volatile, do you think? Is it going to be easier or more difficult to make money as a day trader?
Personally, I think, you know, that what will happen is that the markets will go a bit dull, a bit quiet. Certainly kind of like, you know, FTSE and UK markets, sterling and such, because everybody's, you know, markets hate indecision. So everybody's just going to wait for an outcome and stuff. And if, you know, it's fascinating to hear David say that that actually there might be a stark choice between blue and red, because for me, it all looks a bit beige, really, you know, between the lot of them. And anyway, fascinating to see that, you know, would there be a second election? Because that's the sort of thing that would increase, like, volatility, and that would bring kind of some movement in markets. But I think now up until sort of May, I think UK markets will be a little dull, unless there is a global
I'm quite surprised that you're still able to get 6-1 on a second election, because everything that I see suggests that the Conservative and Labour, the main two parties, are running neck and neck. And the only way that either of them are going to be in power and be able to impose their own will is by doing deals with these smaller parties. Mm. Get into some more betting odds. No overall majority is 4-11 on, which supports, Paul, your beige theory at the moment. Conservative Lib Dem coalition 4-1. Labour Lib Dem 13-2. Labour SNP, which the last time I was on, there was a huge movement towards
Labour SNP, wasn't there? Yep.
Well, it's out to 10-1 now. And Conservative UKIP, when there was some sort of thought, well, is he
might
cozying up, 20-1. So the feeling is the status quo at the moment seems to be there. But I would just argue that there are a huge amount of voters, not necessarily first-time voters, but even yourself, Nick, you said the first time you voted was 80. OK, so you had the Thatcher, Foot, Kinnock era to vote in. But there's an awful lot of people under the age of 40, 45, who have never been involved in voting for anything other than this sort of middle ground that New Labour and the Coalition. This time, they have the opportunity to vote for something slightly more radical. And I'm not sure that the pollsters have actually got in there yet at that group of people and asked them which they prefer.
So if I gave you a TIP TV voucher to go and put some money on this up-and-coming general election.
Yeah.
Where would your money be?
I think that at the moment, I think that the Labour Party will have slightly more seats than any other party. Whether that's sufficient to gain them power, and part of the reason for that, of course, is because the Lib Dems reneged on the changes in the constituency makeup. I mean, we have a ridiculous situation in this country where one guy can get elected on, let's say, a population count of about 25,000. Another guy has his seat and he's got 1.5 million people.
Yep.
Well, I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous, but that's not going to change in the foreseeable future.
Yep.
So that's why I think that mitigates against the Conservatives and goes in favour of Labour. However, the downside of that is they're going, on all accounts, they're going to get humiliated in Scotland by the SNP. A 10-1 Labour SNP coalition, I think that's where I'd have my little
You'd
dabble.
Have a tickle.
I'd have a little tickle. But I think things will change a lot in the next 15 weeks. And I could well be saying something
totally different.
Different.
You sound like a politician.
But at 10-1.
If it's Miliband, I think I might just stay in Dublin.
You can drink a lot of Guinness anyway.
I do try.
Mr. David Harris of InfoTrust Consultancy for our update on the general election, as clear as mud. Look forward to the next 15 weeks. Okay, that's not your fault. That's the politician's fault. Okay, let's take a real quick break. Then we're going to Skype into a day trader, Mr. Tim Young. Hopefully he's going to be on the line telling us about how he's making a fortune trading intraday.